Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
What are we going to do with him?
Hey, I am just great. It's not that I think that I'm like the best looking thing in the world, but I like what I see. I got a cute crooked nose, a cute crooked lip, and
a little cleft in your chin.
Yeah, a good square jaw. Mm-hmm. Good eyebrows, good hair. I look like grandma. All good things. I like.
Yeah. Well, she's dead. I hope you don't look like her.
Well, I do embalm. That's like Botox. Hey? Trying everything I can before I get to the needle. I pass out from an IV. I don't want to, but my forehead and these laugh lines under my, if you notice on my pictures, when I was younger, I used to smile a lot in them. Now I do like, I'll maybe do an eyebrow raise because I get the under eye bags when I smile.
Under eye bags.
One of these days, our listeners are going to see me, and I'm just going to have one of them frozen faces.
They're going to be like, is his screen frozen?
What's wrong with him?
Nope, that's just him.
I don't think I'll ever get, like, injections, though. I like my lips, and I don't want, like, a bigger cheeks or anything. But I could freeze it a little. Just a little.
Just a little? Hey. When this goes out, you know what?
What?
We'll be in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yes. We will be in Nashville.
How fun.
Well, hey, guys. We'll be in Nashville, so go check out our socials and Patreon, and we'll probably be posting pictures of them right now.
You might see a picture of Kim's butt.
The Partheon. We're having our little meet and greet out there.
Yeah.
We might be doing that right now while you're listening.
We might be having a picnic.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be coming out on Thursday, and that's when we're going to do it. It's Thursday.
There you go. That morning. Mm-hmm. And this episode will come out
that morning. So if you're near Nashville, come have a picnic with us.
Yeah, there you go.
Come look for the three of us at the Parthenon.
If you're a cute man, we'll sneak off on the trails, and I'll show you a goddess. What is it?
We're going to be there 6 or 6:30.
I don't remember.
We always get early, so we'll probably be there about 5:30.
Right.
I'd rather be early than late
at
all.
Look for the Mystery Machine Tesla.
Yeah. I kind of find, I was looking at the layout of it the other day, too, when we were talking, you know, had decided that's what we were going to do. And I know where there's like a sunken garden. I think that would be really pretty to go to.
There's one of those in the next town over I want to go to.
Oh, really?
Have you been to the, in Huntington? It's called like the pit or something. It's a sunken garden.
Yeah. Next to a cemetery.
Yeah.
I actually went to the cemetery and I saw the pit.
Cemetery?
Saw the garden.
It's the homophobic era, I guess, I've been raised in, is that I'm like, I don't go to parks alone as a single gay man because I am paranoid that someone's thinking I'm there to like hook up,
right,
or cruise, and I don't do that. If I'm at a park, I'm there to enjoy the park or go fishing. I I ain't doing nothing in no nasty bathroom.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that they have some picnic tables or something close to where that's at, because there's so the Parthenon sits over here, and then the parking lot is beside it, and on the other side of the parking lot there's like a little pond, and then the sunken garden is right on the end of the pond. Ooh. So I think that would be a really cute place.
I'll bring my picnic basket.
Well, that'd be cute.
That would be fun.
I love my picnic. I've always wanted a wicker picnic basket, and I found one last year. I screamed when I saw it because it was on sale. Oh.
I wonder if there'll be enough room in the car with all of our stuff for crime con. We will put our chairs in there.
He can put it in the trunk.
No, I'm talking about our chairs. I think I'm going to sit on a blanket. I'd never get up.
I got a chair with a little cooler in it. Take fishing. I'm so butch.
He is.
Somebody'd have to crane my ass up if I got down on a blanket.
We're willing to do that for you, Kim.
Would you?
Yeah. Or we'll leave you.
I have no problem.
Either way, it's a win-win.
I have no problem sitting on the blanket. It's the getting up off the blankets. It's the rough, hard time.
I've rolled a 500-pound woman over in bed to wipe her ass. I can probably lift you up off the
Whatever you need, Kim, we're there for you.
That's awesome.
We won't let you go without.
I'm sure the people that come to see us, too, though, that would help me up.
Yeah.
Probably.
We'll tie it to the frunk and pull.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget that. And not the woman's size or anything didn't bother me. She was a hoot. Everyone else hated her, but she was a B-I-T-C-H, and I loved her. She was a hoot. It was when I first became a CNA, and I guess there's a little bit of initiation where they like to see what you can do. Mm. So they had me in there, and, you know, I'm getting her alone, but I went to go remove the bedpan, and I did not know humans could poo that big. Mm. It was ever bit of...
Oh, my God.
Just was like, holy smoke.
Oh, God. And then, you know, you have to empty the bedpan and it wouldn't come out.
Well, this bedpan is going in the trash.
So I had to get on. I put on two pairs of gloves and
I would put the bedpan away.
Now I know why I was never a CNA.
I wasn't for long. I had to train enough. You have to have like so many like hours of training to get your license. I just did it enough for that. And I was like, okay, you can take me off the CNA schedule. I'm just activities. I'll play games with them all day. I'll even help them off the toilet, but not for me. Not for me.
No, it definitely takes special people to do that.
Well, it took away from the, you know, I had built a relationship with them where I was a friend of theirs, but they still had that air of dignity where, you know, I've not seen them naked or, you know, how to help them in a indecent moment. And that just kind of altered the relationship between me and the residents away from where I liked it to be. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope, I'm going to, thank you. No, no.
So as you guys know, in the last few episodes, I've mentioned this, but I asked our Patreon some questions.
You did?
I did.
Didn't you ask them some questions?
I did. I asked them some questions.
What kind of questions did you ask them?
Well, this one is a fun one. I asked them, which host do you think volunteered at a hospital in high school and once got stuck in an elevator where the elevator stopped and got stuck? And they got stuck with a priest and a dead body in that elevator. Now, most people guessed Josh.
You're right.
And almost everyone said that Josh would remain calm, cool, and collected. And they thought that he also might crack a wise joke to the priest.
I could definitely
see that.
They
know me so well.
I know. Now, Jen said that she thought it was Josh because he has such a caring heart, and he seems like someone who would volunteer at a hospital.
I did.
I could see that, yeah.
I did at a nursing home. We played Uno.
And she also thinks that he would be calm and cool and collected, but his eyes would give away the WTS is happening right now.
Our listeners have you pegged, Josh.
I'll tell you, my yes. face would look exactly.
Yes.
Oh, now, my God.
Now, I was the one who had volunteered in high school.
Well, I knew it wasn't me.
I had done it for, I think, 3 years. And each of those three really? Years. Yeah, each of those 3 years. I started the summer before my freshman year of high school. And I did it all the way through junior year.
I'm not real sure that I knew this about you.
Oh, I even found.
He had a little uniform and everything.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my God. So when I first started, it was after eighth grade. When I first started, they make you do, is that Ball Hospital in Muncie? Mm-hmm.
IU East.
Yes. Now it's IU East. So now they make you take a little ID picture, you know, just like all mm-hmm. the nurses and stuff.
So cute.
And I have it somewhere. When I find it, I'll show it to you.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so funny because it's basically me in between eighth grade and ninth grade. And
does it look anything like that picture that you gave me, Josh?
Yeah. Very similar.
So each of the 3 years I volunteered there, I volunteered more hours out of any volunteer that
wow.
year. And those volunteers, they have a lot of old people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always...
People wanting to get out
strict,
to do something.
Yeah, get into. Like, it was. I wasn't able to.
Yes. And so you have
what
to
What did
volunteer.
You do?
You have to volunteer so many hours and like within a week. And if you volunteer on a day, you have to volunteer so many hours in that day. So when I volunteered on the day, I always volunteered at least 8 hours that day. So I volunteered a lot. I don't know if Josh remembers, but I would always have our mom or someone drop me off or our dad drop me off and pick me up really late. So I always was like after school on the weekend, have them drop me off. In the summer, it was nice because I just stay there all day. And when you volunteered there, they gave you a free meal that you could use in the cafeteria just by swiping your card. Mm-hmm. So I could literally stay there all day and eat for free. So it was very convenient.
So what kind of stuff did you do?
So I worked in distribution, which was in the basement. And what happens down there is if you had an order come in from upstairs, if where you wanted an IV or an IV refill, or like I'm talking about like the big IV that you have to pull around, it was on wheels, mm-hmm. they send the order down to the basement to the distribution center and they have to deliver it upstairs. And they have normal employees that do that. But if you're a volunteer in distribution, you would help those employees with those orders because they get so many. It's a 10-story hospital. It's huge. But also the craziest thing, and they did not want volunteers to do this because it's such a high-risk thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, you've seen this in movies, and you might have even been in a hospital where this has happened. But when there's a code, and they have to bring a crash cart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's also the job for the distribution center. So the code goes on in the hospital.
Run!
And if my memory serves me correctly, I think that the code gave... like the area of the hospital that crash cart mm-hmm. had to be brought to. And then also they would immediately get in distribution, like a print off telling them also where to go. Well, they had these two or three carts always stocked full of where they needed, like everything that they needed for that crash cart. Mm-hmm. So the employees always had to run those to wherever that crash was happening. And only employees were allowed to do it. But because I would volunteer so late, and distribution always had a problem with keeping people, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it would just be me and one other person in there. And they always had to have two people run that cart. So sometimes it was me and one other person in that room. And I would get stuck in that room. And there would be a lady who, like, there was this old woman named Ruth. Loved her. And she retired right after I stopped volunteering there. Ruth was a hoot. And one day I remember my first time ever running that cart with her. We heard that siren thing go off, and they're like, crash happening on this. And she looked at me, eyes huge, because she realized she's the only one in that room, and she cannot run that cart by herself.
We got to go.
Because if you have to literally run it, and you'll mm-hmm. tip it over if you do it by yourself. She looked at me, and she goes, Shane, you have to do this cart with me. And I said, I cannot. They tell us we can't do that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you have to do it. The person will die, Shane. You have to do it. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah.
I'm 14.
Yeah. I was like,
I don't
want to
be
God,
the cause of somebody to die.
Yeah. That's exactly. And she's like, Shane, you have no choice. You have to do this with me.
And that was
like,
the first time Shane killed somebody.
I have to say that I'm really shocked that they do that.
I doubt that they would now.
Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about the crash cart?
Yeah, the crash cart. I would think
they
had to have.
They have them on floors
now. Okay.
They probably do. Back then, they didn't. This was that I started doing it in probably 2004, 2005.
They're much more mobile now.
Yeah.
Yeah, back then. We'd have to run them up. But the nice thing was, is so at Ball Hospital, this hospital, 10 floors, but there were two sets of elevators. One was for employees only. Mm-hmm. So we had three elevators for employees only. When you ran the crash cart, we had keys connected to the crash cart that you could call one of the elevators directly down to you, no matter where it was. So there were several times where people would be on that elevator. And although they were employee elevators, there were several times when just normal people, because it was just behind the normal people elevators.
I've done it before and not realized that it was the employee elevator. And you're like,
oh, look, here's an employee elevator. Oh, well. Right. So there were several times where we would be running this crash cart. We'd go over, put the key in. And like I said, you could be on that elevator. You're on your way up to the 10th floor. That elevator stops and it rushes down to the basement. It doesn't slowly go down. It's not normal speed. It vroom, down to the basement.
I would have been screaming my head off.
And it never failed. It seemed like there was always someone on it every time I ran it.
They
would like hold on to the the things on the side. They're like, oh my God, what's going on?
We're dying.
And you would think like there'd be like a thing on the this elevator is being called to the basement or something like, and I would love to do the voice, this elevator is being called to the basement.
You're going to hell.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't that be lovely? But every time, and like this, you're trying to get them off. Guys, get off the elevator. This is an emergency. Get off, you're trying to explain to them, you guys are fine. Get off the elevator.
Get the hell off the elevator.
Yeah.
I don't feel like back in the day that they had those employee elevators marked very clearly.
No. There was a sign above. And then they were larger than the normal people elevators, and they were also not as nice. Mm-hmm. They were all kind of bumped up, and they were just play basic, like, metal elevators. But anyway, so when I volunteered there, this whole incident happened one day. It was late, and I had gotten onto one of those employee elevators, and there was a priest, Catholic priest, and I don't remember ever seeing a Catholic priest before because we were raised Baptist.
Just on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't remember ever being like, oh, that's a Catholic priest. Yeah. You know,
he all dressed up for.
So this priest gets on, and there was a body, and he was either pulling or someone pushed it onto the thing with him. In the basement near distribution was the morgue. So it wasn't uncommon for me to see a dead body in a bag down there.
Right.
So my memory of it was that he was going to write it down there and someone was going to pull it off for him. Well, I wasn't going to just not let him on this elevator with me, you know, so whatever. So the elevator stopped on his floor and he gets on with me and they push it on, whatever. So we start going down. The elevator stops, like gets stuck or whatever. Well, here I am with this dead body in a bag and this priest.
What is it with you and stuck elevators?
I know.
A dead body and a priest and a giant get on an elevator.
I would stop getting on elevators if I wasn't fat and refused to do stairs. Inconvenient. Anyway, so here we are just stopped on this elevator and I thought, oh my God.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, It was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
So we're just like, what do you say? You know, I don't know what his religion is. I didn't even, like I said, I didn't even know that was a Catholic priest. I don't know what that thing is. And like our preachers didn't dress like that. So I knew that wasn't what we were doing.
Right.
So anyway, so we're just sitting there and I remember like he had called someone on the thing and they're like, hey, we're trying to get this fixed. It might be a bit. And I go, oh, God. And then I
realized, dying to get out of here.
I know. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I looked and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, because I thought,
forgive me, Father.
Well, I didn't know that he was a father. But you can't
because I'm Baptist.
Right. Well, he goes, are you in delivery? And now I think that he was asking if I had been volunteering in delivery because I had just came down from the delivery department. I had delivered something in the delivery department.
Like babies?
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think he was talking about if I was in the delivery department.
Okay.
So I thought he was asking me about his religion, if I was in his religion. And I said, no, I'm Baptist. And he looks at me puzzled.
You ignorant.
And he said, no, I'm talking about Floor X. And I said, oh, no, I'm down in distribution. And he's like, okay. And then I was like,
God bless.
Gosh dang it.
Look like a real idiot.
I felt so stupid. Yes, I felt so stupid.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, that's my story.
That's real funny.
Yeah.
That was about the same time I worked at Dairy Queen.
Two different experiences.
I know. Mm-hmm. Night and day.
I know.
You're
I remember
getting dead bodies by priests.
I couldn't look at
I'm making at, blizzards.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't work at Dairy Queen because I'd be eating ice cream all the damn time.
Shane liked to come pick me up sometimes, and he'd come through about 2 minutes before we closed the
playing the Pussycat Dolls real loud
and ordering, "I'd like a large strawberry cheesequake blizzard." Extra quake.
There's an ice cream place in Hartford City that I stop at when it's open. Of course, they're not open through the winter, but they are open now. But I stop there every single time I come up here because they have the best ice cream.
I almost stopped there the other day, but their special of the day was like a lime something, lime whip or whatnot. Yeah.
Just a little bitty building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I quit Dairy Queen because there was an older, like maybe 2 years older than me at the time, gay teenager. And he trapped me in the walk-in freezer and deep throated a foot-long hot dog to show me what he could do. And it made me so uncomfortable and nervous. I quit.
Oh, my God. It's like,
oh, no, he can tell I'm gay. Me?
Speaking of, another question I asked on Patreon was, what is everyone's biggest pet peeve? And our friend Jen mentioned,
hey, Jen,
when someone doesn't clear the remaining time from the microwave. And I thought that was a really good one. She said that when she was growing up, she would always get her time from the microwave. And it would always drive her nuts when she would look for the time and see 14 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Even today, like when most people get their time from their phone, I like to like intentionally like not carry my phone around in my house. So I will look over to the microwave because I know that's where I can find the time. And if the time has a second, I'm like, let me get up. And
I like to edge it too. Like,
Get
it right before it goes off because I don't like the noise it makes.
Too.
Yeah, like the last second. Yeah. And then I clear the time.
Yeah.
I got this from grandma. I just don't understand it. My pet peeve, when people leave the cabinet doors open. Oh, I hate it. I don't know why my head explodes. It just drives me crazy when they'll go get a cup or, you know, anything out of the cabinet and just walk away, cabinet door wide open. Well, you know, when you're tall and...
Oh, I've hit my head on the
cabinet. Yeah, and some kitchens I've been in, my friend's husband did it, and their kitchen, he had to, like, walk in from the left. So I'd walk in and wham, right in the face, the cabinet door. I'm like, why is there a cabinet door open?
Right. I've actually hit my head. You know that little cabinet that some people have above the fridge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one that it was farther out. Their fridge was, like, recessed, is that what the word is?
Mm-hmm.
Inward, so that the cabinet was like kind of out and they had left it open. I think they were getting stuff out of it, maybe. Well, I walked in, popped me right in the face.
Bam!
They're like, oh, I didn't even realize that someone would be that tall and they'd hit it.
And close the, why leave it open?
Right.
Because we're short and it doesn't make any difference if we walk. I mean,
well,
we
just looks
get there,
bad.
We're going to walk underneath it. So
yeah, but also I'm way more likely to use my upper cabinets than my lower cabinets. I hate lower cabinets.
I only keep stuff I barely use down there.
Yeah, I put stuff on the top shelves that I don't use very often.
That's what I use the most.
Yeah.
My good coffee cups.
I'm like, oh, I got to get something down in the basement. Here we go.
Let me crawl on the floor.
Yeah. So inconvenient.
I don't have a lot of cabinet space anyway. But.
Lord.
Sometimes I wonder, are we trash?
Are we trash?
I just wonder that.
Are we trash?
I'm not, but y'all might be.
Sometimes the way we talk in our text message group, I just wonder, are we trash?
No, we just enjoy life and like to have fun.
We might have been born of trash, but I do not consider myself garbage.
Right.
Okay, Julia.
Some of us.
Thank you.
Some of us were not born barn dollars.
Barn dollars. Mm-hmm. We are from the waters.
Yes. The waters.
Joshua.
What's your mystery?
Please.
Well, my mystery today is about witchcraft, hexes, and murder. It happened in 1928 in York County, Pennsylvania. A man named John Blymire was experiencing a difficult time in his life. He was struggling to keep a job, and his wife had recently left him, taking their two children with him. Despite this, John was a follower of powwow, which originated in Pennsylvania Dutch culture. It involved a range of folk magic practices and should not be confused with the Native American term of the same name. Mm. So John was a flesh and blood witch. Not a bad one by any means. Powwow practitioners used remedies, recipes, and charms to cure various ailments. Well, as I said, John was going through a bit of a streak of bad luck and decided to seek the help of another local witch named the River Witch Marietta. She then charged him for multiple sessions to determine the cause of his misery. Seems like a racket to me.
Right.
Well, during one of those sessions, the River Witch conducted a test where she placed a dollar bill on John's palm and removed it. And when she did, it revealed the face of the culprit of John's misery. John claimed to have seen the face of another local male witch, Nelson Raymier. It is unclear whether the test was successful or if John might have been under the influence of something else magical. Well, Nelson Raymier was a self-proclaimed witch doctor who lived in a small house within what is now Spring Valley Park, also known as Hex Hollow.
Ooh.
Nelson was a farmer who lived alone and kept to himself. He had also experienced sadness in his life. His wife had just left him due to his involvement in white magic, and she took their two children with her, just like John's wife had done. Well, because of the River Witch, John now believed that his friend Nelson had cast a hex on him after the spell with the dollar bill. And during those sessions, the River Witch told John that there was only one way to remove the hex.
Oh boy, this will be good.
She told him he needed to steal Nelson's spell book, a book called The Long Lost Friend, which you can still buy today on Amazon, I saw. Once John stole the book, he was to burn it, and he was also to cut off a lock of hair from Nelson and take that along with the ashes of the book and bury them 6 feet underground. I'd honestly rather be cursed than dig a 6 foot deep hole. And only by doing all of that would it break the hex and end John's pain. Seems pretty straightforward. Steal a book, cut off some hair, and burn and bury them. The thing was, it didn't go as planned. John sought the help of two teenage boys, John Curry, 14, and Wilbert Hess, who was 18. Then on the chilly night of November 28th, a full moon graced the dark sky while they set out on their mission. Whether it was a coincidence or a thought-out plan, it's hard to say if the full moon made a difference. I just thought it made it sound a little extra witchy. Well, Nelson, who trusted them as his close friends, greeted them with a warm welcome and let them inside his home. He had no reason to suspect they were up to no good. But little did he know, as soon as they made their way in, John demanded the book from him. However, the bewildered Nelson denied owning the book or having any knowledge of its whereabouts. Well, John was desperate to regain some luck, as he believed Nelson had been the one to curse him. And this desperation was enough to send John over the edge. The three men then grabbed Nelson, tied him up, and in a state of fear-based rage, beat him to death. John claims that when Nelson died, he could feel the hex being lifted from him. Then, in a state of panic at what they had just done, the men ransacked the home, doused Nelson's body in kerosene, and lit it on fire, expecting the house to burn down and cover their tracks. The thing was, though, the body or the house didn't burn. Somehow the fire started, and some of Nelson did burn, but something caused the kerosene-fueled flame to die out, which ain't easy. Enough of Nelson's body remained, and he was discovered 2 days later by a neighbor. And above his body on a shelf was also a clock that had stopped at 12:01, the very beginning of the witching hour. John Blymere, John Currie, and Wolbert Hess were arrested a few days later for a murder case, and they were found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. However, after only a few years, all three men were released on parole and went on to live normal lives. Nevertheless, the legend of Hex Hollow continues to this day, and people still believe it's cursed. Word spread quickly about the fire not burning Nelson or the dry wooden farmhouse and the clock stopping at 12:01. And before long, folklore came about. Many locals believed that Nelson had been working with dark forces, and that's why his body didn't burn. John's behavior after his wife left him makes it pretty clear why she left. He refuses to take responsibility for his choices. First, blaming Nelson for his problems, even though Nelson was going through the same thing. Then blaming dark forces for not burning the crime scene, which caused John to go to prison. Everything's always everybody else's fault. Don't you just love people like that? Today, Nelson's old farmhouse still stands among the hills of Hex Hollow. The floor is charred, and the clock remains there, forever frozen at the witching hour. Join us on Unmasked for a little bit more of ooky spooky things that have happened at Hex Hollow since the murder of Nelson Ramier. Wasn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
You don't hear a lot about male witches getting killed, or even less about male witches getting killed by other male witches.
Right.
I was like, this sounds like a good movie. Good Lord.
Right.
And the house is still there today. It's owned by, I believe, one of his great-grandson or something along the line, one of his distant relatives. And you can, you know, if you ask for permission, you can get a tour of it and see the charred floor. And it's a little two-story black house. Very, very interesting. If I'm ever in the area, I'm going to hop on over there.
Well, I told you in the last episode that in my Unmasked, I'm going to bring us to a famous place to talk about UFO sighting.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be in Salem.
Ooh.
So in our Unmasked that we do in the next episode.
I wondered if that's where it was
It's going to be in Salem. And it's going to be funny that we're going to be talking about Josh's subject also.
Hello, Salem. My name's Winifred. What's yours?
I love those movies.
If anybody watching notices I'm itching, I got poison ivy. I don't have crabs or scurvy or nothing. It's just I'm covered in poison ivy.
That's what they always say, John.
I got it on the eclipse. I was at my friend's house and I was pulling weeds and stuff and helping her with yard work.
Quit scratching.
I'm sorry, it itches.
I'll tell you.
Yep, I got upburns and burning and itching. Ooh.
Watch your bless your heart for today.
Well, our bless your heart this week goes out to anyone who is suffering in silence with their mental health. This is not an ad. I just hope anyone who needs it hears it. Just here in the U.S., 1 in 5 adults live with a mental illness, even more in teenagers. About 1 in 25 U.S. adults lives with a serious mental illness, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or major depression. I myself have anxiety and depression, and up until more recently, was anorexic for the better part of a decade. Don't forget to always take time aside for yourself and your own well-being. As Grandma would say, you can't pour from an empty cup. Whether you're a single person dealing with it alone like me, or a mother of 2 small children struggling to find yourself in the chaos of raising babies, take a break, practice some self-care, and if you need it, find a therapist to help you navigate your way through your own mind. Meditation and journaling are my go-to methods, but I also have a lot of hobbies and interests that help me unwind. If you don't take time for your mental health, eventually, it'll take the time for you. Anyone who is going through a rough time with their mental well-being, I give you a very warm bless your heart. And I'll tell you another thing that Grandma always told me when I was anxious or down in the dumps about something, which was quite often. Just hold your head up high and do what you have to do.
That was really good.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I had some personal, not with myself, but of, you know, you guys know the story of mental health and how it's just very important to take the time to nurture your own. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I wanted to make that my bless your heart just to give. Yeah. We all struggle, but
we don't have
to struggle alone.
Mm-hmm. We all have our moments where we have difficult times, and we're all really good about making sure everybody's okay and helping and doing what we can to help. And
this podcast honestly helps a lot with my mental health.
Right.
We come here and just, you know, we open ourselves up and let go of what's been bothering us and just laugh our butts off. Yeah. And laughter's always the best medicine.
It is definitely a big help to me, too.
And I hear a lot of our Patreons talk about that in our community. They are very vocal about that it helps their mental health too.
Good.
Listening to the podcast.
Oh, good.
Because we don't come in here and talk about things that are rough, like bills and how are we going to pay this and how are we going to pay that. And we come in here and we have fun.
We talk about
I tried to start a GoFundMe page.
You always ask for something.
At least once a month.
No, but
it's, I do it in fun. Just to get it off of my chest and I bitch about things on occasion, but
the laughter we have here always makes my big problems seem less like something that I was stressed about. I'm like, what are we worrying for?
Right.
The people out there that say that we help them, trust me, you guys help us just as much as we help you. This is definitely a big thing on my end.
Mm-hmm. We're all just helping each other make it through each day.
Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Talking about food and cheesecake and daddies. Ooh, baby.
Well, that's what a gang's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Helping each other.
Yep. Cult. A cult. Right.
A cult and a gang TikTok all together.
Cult o'clock.
There you go.
Can't believe I said that right.
On the first try.
Oh, please review the edited. That's what I get for copying and pasting. We'll mark your calendars for July 12th through the 14th because we are headed to the True Crime and Paranormal Podcast Festival in Denver, Colorado. If you're a fan of spooky stories, true crime, and ethical storytelling, this festival is for you. Don't miss out. Get your tickets at truecrimepodcastfestival.com for an unforgettable experience. Use the code MYSTERY15 at checkout to save 15% off your ticket price. And we hope to see you there, and tell them Mystery Inc. sent you.
And don't forget about Nashville. We're there right now.
Yeah.
When you're listening to this, we're there right now. Come see us.
I had to mark that out in my thing. We're here right on this episode. Well, we want to give a big shout out to our amazing patrons. You guys are the best, and we couldn't do this without your support. We hope all of you are enjoying Mystery Inc. and are looking forward to more exciting episodes in the future. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram or join us on Patreon to listen to our bonus episodes of Unmasked that we release right after Kim and I Go Potty. You can find us on both platforms under the username at It's Mystery Inc. And come to Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole on Facebook, or you can check out our website, itsmysteryinc.com, where you can find past episodes, buy one of my little dicks, Amazonite necklaces, Mystery Inc. shirts, cups, soon to be coffee cups, or Kim's big old pink satin BVDs.
Please, somebody buy my BVDs.
Buy her BVDs. And if you have any ideas for mysteries, positive news, foolish criminals, or something that made you say, well, shit fire, that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear from you. Thank you all for joining us today. And
thank you, guys.
Bless your heart.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.